Sleep. Let's talk about sleep. We know as nurses, nursing students, and as society, we probably don't get enough. I'm joined today by Roban Vanek to discuss tips and tricks for a better night's sleep. Hi, and welcome to Nurse Essentials, a Cleveland Clinic podcast where we discuss all things nursing, from patient care to advancing your career to navigating tough on-the-job issues. We're so glad you're here. I'm your host, Carol Pahatsky, Associate Chief Nursing Officer of Surgical Services Nursing. Welcome back, everyone. You know, on this journey of getting to be your host of this Nurse Essentials experience, no matter what the topic is, I always find that I'm hearing something, learning something that is really impactful to me, no matter the topic. But this topic, I feel like it's all about me, and maybe it's all about all of you as well. We're going to be talking about sleep habits today. I would also invite some of you, maybe you stumbled across here and you're not a nurse. I feel confident what we have to share will be applicable to anyone who's working with improved sleep hygiene, struggling through some things, et cetera, right? I started my nursing career as a night shift nurse. I chose to do straight nights because I thought that would somehow make it easier versus swinging back and forth. I was not a very pleasant person to be around, so obviously I didn't quite figure it out. And when I switched to days, one of my very best friends in the world pulled me aside about a month later, and she's like, I love you no matter what, but you're a lot easier to be around now that you work days. So maybe whoever you are, you're listening, you're relating to that. And on that topic, it's my distinct pleasure to introduce you all to Roban Vanek. She is an advanced practice nurse in Cleveland Clinic's Sleep Disorder Center. Roban, thank you so much for joining us today.
I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, so we could talk for hours about this. I'll try to narrow it down to the most important topics. But certainly we know, again, not just for nurses, but everybody, sleep deprivation, it's basically a public health epidemic, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely it is. You know, with sleep deprivation, it's so common. It's estimated that up to 70 million people in the United States meet criteria for sleep deprivation.
What?
Yes.
Wow.
The U.S. Census Bureau estimates the U.S. population is about 336 million which means one in four or five people are sleep deprived. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people we interact with every day, too. It's like, ooh, they woke up on the wrong side of the bed. It's like, no, they never went to bed.
Indeed. So sleep is as important as diet and exercise for good health. But sleep is not a priority in our fast-paced society.
No.
The amount of sleep time needed varies throughout our lives. For adults, sleep deprivation is when you're not sleeping the recommended 7 to 9 hours.
Nine?
7 to 9. Yep, that's
right. Anybody else feeling that one? Oh, boy.
And or the quality of sleep is poor. Sleep deprivation can be short-term or can be chronic. And when chronic, it can cause or contribute to a variety of health problems.
Sure.
Sleep deprivation can take different forms. People may not get enough sleep or have good sleep quality. With sleep quality, for example, instead of sleeping, people may stay awake, not because of insomnia, but because sleep time is not prioritized.
And how many times do we all say, for whatever it is, oh, I don't have time for that?
Exactly.
And this becomes one of those many things that we have to make time for, right?
Absolutely. It is. It should be a priority for all of us. Now, on the other hand, even if asleep, people may not get good sleep quality.
Yep.
And there's various reasons for this. There could be untreated sleep apneas or untreated other sleep disorders.
Yes. So I'm guessing I already have some of these, but maybe you can describe for us the physical and mental health consequences of not getting that either 7 to 9 hours or the good quality of sleep you mentioned.
Right. So when we talk about sleep hygiene, it refers to both the sleep environment and behaviors.
Okay.
So good sleep hygiene includes setting a very strict sleep schedule. You get up at the same time, you go to sleep at the same time. No
matter
what.
Tell that to all the teenagers everywhere, right?
Right. So you got to follow a good bedtime routine, doing the same things at night. So you really set yourself up for wanting to go to sleep.
Sure.
Okay. You want to form healthy sleep habits and optimize the bedroom for your sleep.
Okay.
It should be quiet, cool, and dark.
What about white noise or fans?
White noise and fans, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely. Okay. Anything that is improving sleep for any individual.
Okay, so it doesn't have to be quiet, just maybe that distraction-free piece of it.
Yeah. There's been some research with people who live in noisy neighborhoods.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And in that case, having white noise would be a better option.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's really individualized.
I'm really looking for validation here, folks. So you mentioned that environment, and then can we talk a little bit more about those habits then?
Right. So that means making sure that you prioritize sleep, going to bed at the same time, getting up at the same time. You know, poor sleep hygiene, it can really negatively impact both the quantity and the quality of sleep. And that's what can lead to sleep deprivation.
Sure.
Right.
Okay.
So the symptoms of sleep deprivation include daytime sleepiness, fatigue.
Yeah, check.
Irritability that you've already talked about. Slow reaction times, headaches, trouble thinking, focusing, remembering, all the bad stuff.
Sure. Well, and when you think about all the things that a nurse has to do, no matter where we are nurses, right? They talk about the many hats a nurse has to put on top of his or her head and changing them throughout a shift. To have even one of those things going on isn't just about showing up feeling rested, it's about safety.
It is, absolutely. And when you're sleep deprived, it correlates with 7 out of 15 leading causes of death.
What?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's not just being able to function and function well and wearing the many hats for a nurse.
Sure.
But also
their own health.
Their own health.
Wow.
Heart disease, stroke, hypertension, diabetes, infection, cancer. And it can lead to the tragedy of drowsy driving and
driving home. If we know some of our listeners are still in nursing school, we know some folks are further along in their journey, and you know, I'm sure there's many of us out there, myself included, who had a very close call.
Yes,
you know, going down 8 a.m. in the morning in a very busy interstate and got very lucky.
You talk to a room full of nurses.
Yep.
You will see multiple people raise up their hands and say, "Yes, that happened to me."
Wow. So we've talked a lot about the physical components, and those are plenty dreadful, but what does that do to our mental health as well?
Right. So lack of sleep also has mental health repercussions.
Okay.
And that can include increased risk of depression, anxiety, and general symptoms like loss of motivation or lack of concentration. When tired, it can be harder to manage and process emotions.
Sure. And it's easy to think there are plenty of other causes for that. But while we're thinking about those causes, are we also, it's probably not occurring to most of us that, well, let me at least try a better night's sleep and see if that makes a difference.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And, you know, there's been research out there that's demonstrated that people can cognitively adapt to chronic sleep restriction or getting less than that 7 to 9 hours that we've been talking about without feeling particularly sleepy. So they think there's no problem there.
I haven't had a problem so far, but
maybe their body is showing significant declines in physical health. Or maybe there's mental performance issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We fool ourselves into a lot of things, and this would be one of them, thinking, I don't need that. I'm fine. Or I'll have that third cup of coffee and it won't affect me, et cetera.
Exactly.
Yep.
And the effects of sleep deprivation, it really depends on why it happens and how long it lasts.
Okay.
So longer lasting sleep deprivation equals more severe effects. And as I've said, poor sleep hygiene can lead to sleep deprivation.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Wow. So I'm trying to get that 7 to 9 hours.
Yes.
Just because I get that 7 to 9 hours in bed doesn't mean it's healthy. What does that look like? How do I get to that healthy place?
So that is good quality of sleep. Mm-hmm. So that includes the factors of sleep onset or how long it takes to fall asleep.
Okay.
So healthy sleep onset on average is usually about 10 to 20 minutes.
Ooh, oh boy.
Yeah. I mean, you can go 30 minutes, but really beyond that, there's a problem.
Sure, sure.
Another factor of good quality sleep is what people working in sleep medicine called WASO, which is wake after sleep onset.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And with good quality sleep, this means sleeping through the night or not having any or many disruptions.
So I want to go back to the 10 to 20 or 30 minutes to fall asleep. So it's past 30 minutes. What do I do?
You get out of bed.
Really?
You go to another room and you do something boring.
Oh, boy. Okay. Until, so maybe not pull out the old phone.
No, no. That is not what we want you to do. Sitting quietly, listening to some very soft music,
okay,
meditating, and then when you feel sleepy, going back into the bedroom to go to sleep.
Like hitting the reset button, trying again.
Exactly.
Okay. And going back to the WASO.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, I wake up once and that's not good? Or is, what's sort of a threshold for where we would say, this is too many times I'm waking up in the middle of the night?
Well, it really depends.
Oh, okay.
Because there are some people who have physical discomfort.
Sure.
And that's waking them up.
Yes.
There are some people who are waking up because of untreated sleep apnea. They can wake up every couple of hours.
Gosh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's having prostate problems, and you gotta go have a bathroom break.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But if it's more than just one or two times,
okay,
and then it also depends on how quickly people fall back to sleep.
Sure.
Some people, they just feel wired. They feel so awake, and it's so hard to get back to sleep.
In our house, it's called I've Lost My Sleepy. It started with our daughter, and it's like, Mom, I lost my sleepy. And it's just sort of transitions like, oh, no, I lost my sleepy. I can't get it back. So we talked a little bit at the top of the hour about, you know, there are lots of people this obviously affects, 70 yes. million of us in yes. this country alone. But when you think about nurses, nursing aides, all sorts of folks in healthcare, well, you know, care is needed 24/7. Somebody gets to work the evening shift, the night shift. So any tips for, maybe we'll start first with people who do straight nights, and then maybe then we'll talk about people who rotate or swing shift.
So if the schedule is fixed,
mm-hmm.
so there's no rotation
right.
that's involved,
mm-hmm.
then keeping the same schedule on work days and on off days is recommended. So if someone works night shift, it's recommended that daytime sleep is maintained, which is difficult for
sure
a lot
is.
Of people to do.
Absolutely.
Families,
yes.
all of those responsibilities. I've actually only had one gentleman, and he was a police officer,
mm-hmm.
and so he slept during the day,
okay.
and he worked at night. One, I've been in the department almost 11 years, so.
Yeah, we don't know what the denominator is, but it's awfully large compared
it
to one. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure lots of people are relating to that right now. You get the blackout curtains, there's still that line of light that comes
mm-hmm.
through. You sleep with the fan, but the neighbors, you know, mows their yard at what 2 o'clock would normally be,
right.
be an appropriate time, but it doesn't feel like that when it's my neighbor. So I vividly remember, like, why are they mowing the yard? It's like, oh, it is 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm the problem.
Indeed.
You know, I worked straight nights because my husband was in healthcare and he was working straight nights. And now he's back on days, but he just stops moving and he falls asleep. But he worked nights forever. And the other thing he really struggled with is training our friends.
Right.
That to help us get to that very, this is how I sleep, whether it's a work day or not, is, well, I didn't think you were working. I thought you maybe want to go out to lunch or what have you. It's like, no. That'd be like me calling you at 4 a.m. and saying, hey, you want to grab a drink or you want to grab dinner? So.
Protecting your
yes.
sleep time. Absolutely.
Yes.
And communicating with family and friends,
absolutely.
With your loved ones, for sure.
So at least with that, you know, in theory, that one gentleman was probably able to say to his friends and family, this is my protected time, and I'd be more than happy to interact with you in these hours. When you rotate, though, nope. Sometimes I wouldn't even know when I work, and so how would my loved ones know that? So what would you recommend for those folks that are constantly changing?
Well, the American Academy of Sleep Medicine says that the shifts shouldn't be more than 8 hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And more than 3 in a row.
Sure.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We know.
So we're already in trouble there.
Yes.
But, okay.
Because we do the 12-hour shifts.
Yes.
So with the rotation, it would be no more than 2 12-hour shifts separated by at least one
okay.
or more.
Sure.
So that there can be recovery time and that you go in a clockwise rotation. So you go day to night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because night, that yeah, it's easier
sure.
to go around the clock.
Okay.
And then
yeah.
you have a couple of days in between if you are going to be doing
sure.
a counterclockwise rotation.
Okay. Yeah, so for those of you who are coming into our profession, you're still in nursing school. Unfortunately, as the new person, sometimes you get what's left over from the schedule, right? But I think it's that piece of how do you work with your leadership to advocate for, I'm happy to rotate, is there any chance I can, you know, which isn't always available. But I know lots of nurses who really, they want to bucket their days they work to stretch out the time they have off. But how effective is that time off if I'm constantly, I've put too much together and I haven't slept. And so I spend the first 2 of 4 days off completely exhausted.
Well, there's actually some resources out there.
Okay.
And one really good one is through the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health. Mm-hmm. So if you go and look for CDC and shift work, if you search for that online, they have fantastic training modules for nurses and others who are working nights, irregular shifts, and long work hours.
Okay.
So if there is a nursing student or nurses who are working, that is something that I always recommend whenever I'm giving a presentation on shift work disorder.
Yes, we're very fortunate to have lots of resources here, but that's available to everybody no matter where you are.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'm going to shift gears just a little bit.
Okay.
What's the deal with napping? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I am not a napper. I am a terrible napper. So this is really for everybody else. It's not for me.
Not everybody is a napper. We are all built differently genetically, right? So people are nappers and people are not nappers.
Oh, I've never heard that. That's helpful to know.
Absolutely. The American Academy of Sleep Medicine has multiple recommendations, and one of those is napping on the night shift.
Oh,
but not all people can nap.
Sure.
So it would be fatigue management.
Mm.
So what is restoring for each individual when they're working on the night shift? And at least getting out of the light and into a darkened space.
At least get some rest, even if it isn't sleep.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Right. Now, one thing to know is that breast cancer in premenopausal women working night shift, yes, that has been found by the National Institutes of Health. The way that it works, I know, very scary.
Wow, that is super scary.
The way that it works is that you're exposed to the light.
Okay.
That decreases melatonin. Melatonin does a lot of good things. It makes us feel sleepy, but it does a lot more. So you decrease the melatonin, you get an increase in estrogen.
Oh.
And so premenopausal women have more risk of developing breast cancer.
If they're Wow.
Mm-hmm. Not the same for postmenopausal women.
Oh, interesting.
Because we don't have as much
There's not
estrogen.
As much estrogen to go around.
Right.
That's right.
So who knew there was a benefit to being postmenopausal?
Right? There it is. There it is.
There
the
it
one.
Is.
So in our culture, obviously, there's a lot of sleep deprivation going around. And then there's a lot of advice that may or may not be as helpful, right? We know there are people who are drinking coffee all day long and saying, oh, it doesn't affect me. Or drinking coffee all day and then trying to have a glass of wine or a melatonin and thinking it will just fix everything. So a lot of people are doing various things to manage their sleep-wake cycle. What would you say to that?
So when you're drinking and then going to bed, having a nightcap, for example, what happens is that it might help you to fall asleep, but it interferes with REM sleep.
Sure.
And then it metabolizes out of your system and turns to a stimulant, and it can wake you up.
There you go.
Now, as far as melatonin is concerned, as long as, you know, it's not a high dose, then this can be something that's helpful. So the research is starting to point towards it can be helpful.
Okay.
And so I recommend it.
Okay.
And when I have a premenopausal nurse who's working night shift.
Yeah.
Now, it's not solid that it's going to provide protection, but it can help with sleep. And maybe we will find out over time that it could be a preventative
and
for breast
definitely
cancer.
One of those, the benefits would outweigh any detriment to taking something like that.
Absolutely.
I'm pretty sure I also know the answer to this question, but it's on everybody's mind. All of us have some sort of device, and, you know, it's in some people's hands until right before they go to bed. So a lot of us are really present with our phones or whatever device that is. What do you have to say about that and how to unplug and really the benefits of doing that for our sleep?
So when we talk about these devices, a lot of times what we're thinking about are people who are in bed and they have the phone that's emitting blue light.
Sure.
And they're holding it very close to their face.
And scrolling away.
Yes.
Yes.
And that decreases the secretion of melatonin. So that's the hormone.
Yeah.
Makes us feel sleepy. So while we may think screen time is relaxing, Over time, these electronic devices, they can create poor habits, bad routines for your brain and your hormones. Routinely not getting enough good quality sleep can lead to a multitude of health issues, as we've been talking about. So when you have these phones in bed, this can make it more difficult to fall asleep, can impact the amount and quality of REM sleep or dreaming sleep, which is the deepest level of sleep. And it is thought that what is happening during REM sleep is memory consolidation, and the brain is clearing of toxins.
Oh.
Yes.
There you go.
So
if you didn't have enough motivation for the last 20 or so minutes, clearing your brain's toxins seems like a pretty good motivation.
Absolutely. I hope so.
And what drew you to this work?
So when I became a nurse practitioner, I was working in Baltimore at a federally qualified health center.
Okay.
And then I moved back to Cleveland, and I was looking for a position. And I had a family friend who spent many years at the VA in sleep medicine.
Oh, how about that?
So family friend who knows me, he's like, Roban, you are going to love sleep medicine. And I love sleep medicine.
It's very clear. We are all the better for your information today. And for those of us who live in Cleveland, we have access to a sleep disorders center as well.
Absolutely.
So I could talk to you about this for hours, but instead I've taken some notes. I'm going to start this tonight. Everybody else listening, start thinking about your sleep hygiene. I'm hoping you'll spend just a few more minutes with us to let us know a little bit more about you as a nurse and human being.
Sure.
So I hear that you're working on your PhD. What are you working on?
So I'm going to Kent State.
Okay.
And they have a part-time PhD program.
Oh, nice.
So it's going to take me longer, but I can continue to work full-time. And so I am looking at nurse practitioners within structural systems. So I'm an APRN on an APRN council that's working at Cleveland Clinic. Within a state, their state rules and laws within
the structure of it.
And seeing how sharing power within a nurse practitioner council, so creating events like educational events or professional development council, so that the nurse practitioners from Cleveland Clinic can benefit from that, and thinking about power from a vertical perspective, which can go up and down. So people can communicate and then rules can come down as well. So that's going to take me a while, but that's what I'm thinking about.
And then you can call me and we can do a different episode about that.
Absolutely.
And then in closing, I like to ask all of our guests, what brings you joy?
Being involved.
Oh, okay.
So even having this opportunity, this is amazing because I've been talking about shift work disorder at sleep conferences for years. And so this gives me the opportunity to really reach a larger audience. Yeah. That's why I'm on the APRN Council. That's why I'm chair of the research subcommittee. That's why I'm getting my PhD. So being involved and communicating and trying to make the world a better place and hopefully help people sleep better.
You've given us a lot of homework. So everybody listening, rewind, take some notes, take better care of your sleep, clear out those brain toxins. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
As always, thanks so much for joining us for today's discussion. Don't miss out. Subscribe to hear new episodes wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, we want to hear from you. Do you have ideas for future podcasts or want to share your stories? Email us at nurseessentials@ccf.org. To learn more about nursing at Cleveland Clinic, please check us out at clevelandclinic.org/nursing. Until next time, take care of yourselves and take care of each other. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute medical or legal advice. Consult your local state boards of nursing for any specific practice questions.